Well, good morning. Good to see you're still awake. That's a good thing. Did everybody sleep all right last night? I heard some no's. I hope that you get a better sleep tonight then. My name is Jesse. I am the worship team administrator and young adults pastor at Sunnyside. And it is my privilege to be here with our church, getting to worship with you today. A little bit about myself. I have a family. My wife is here with our two kids. And their names are Madeline and Caleb. My wife is Samantha. And we love being part of Sunnyside. And in our spare time, we're either dancing in the kitchen, singing along to whatever's on the radio, or we're baking or we're outside in the yard. And so today we're going to look at the theme. The question of today is, what's in your closet? Does everybody have a closet? Yes? Okay. That's good. If you don't have a closet, you can think of what's in your dresser, or what's in the pile of clothes on your floor that you haven't put away yet. Or if you're here at camp all summer, what's in your duffel bag? We're going to focus in on Colossians 3. So the passage that we're going to look at will be on the screen, but also if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can do so. We're reading from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, but not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's just pray. God, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak through me and through it into our lives, and help us to see the changes that you want in us, and the way that we can grow to become more like you, God. We just ask you to be with us and bless this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So one thing I learned in seminary, but also just in practical application, the first thing to start is, anytime you read anything in the Bible, first thing you should start with is getting the context of what you just read, because if you don't get the context, you can't really understand what you're reading and where it's going. So let's just start with getting the context on this passage. This is a letter written by Paul to the church in Colossae when he was in prison, and most scholars would agree it's probably written around the same time as his letter to the church in Ephesus. And now, Colossae was about 100 miles from Ephesus, and it was on the main trade route that connected Greece, Rome, Mesopotamia, and Syria. And they would have seen the ships and carts going by constantly with all of the goods that were being traded, and some of that probably would have been clothing. Keep that information in the back of your mind. We're going to refer to that later. But before we get to the clothing part of today's scripture, Paul is looking at putting on your new self, kind of like someone would put on new clothes. So Paul's known for writing letters to the early church and to the early Christians, and he wrote about 14 of the books in the New Testament, most of those being his letters. And he often started these letters the exact same way. He would start it with instructions and teaching, and then he'd follow that up with practical application, so we're not left in a weird place not knowing where we're supposed to go with that. And so today we're looking at three instructions that Paul has given us in this letter on how what we need to do in order to become more like Christ and to strive to live as he has taught us. So let's start dissecting this idea by looking back just at verse 1 of Colossians 3. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Right as the first part of this, we see that Paul's message is saying that you have been raised with Christ. What does being raised with Christ mean? A lot of people would refer to that as seeing that in baptism. And actually today we have, as Sunnyside, we have the privilege of being able to baptize three of our youth later. You go into the water, you are submerged, and you come back out being put to death of your old self, coming up and being washed in that saving power of Jesus and putting on that new self. If we actually look in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Paul says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism in death, in order that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too now may live a new life." See, in choosing to follow Jesus, you're submerged into that water. You're cleansed of your sin. Your old self is washed away, and then you emerge from that water being raised with Christ in a new life, in a clean life. Your old life has passed away and your new life has begun. So let's go back to our passage. Keep reading on verse 2-4. "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life was now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." What does it look like to actually be in Christ? It means that you should be trying every day to live following his instructions, his teaching, and emulating Christ in every situation that you come across, with every person you come across. This means our old thought patterns, our old actions, need to remain in the past, kind of that pre-baptism life. We need to leave that behind. And we need to fill ourselves and our minds with Christ, his teaching, and that makes us become more like him. Now, isn't the mind a fascinating thing? Would you agree? The mind is a fascinating thing. It's also very powerful, yet it's also very dangerous. And it's pretty terrifying if you actually think about it. The mind, when used correctly and kept under control, it can help us accomplish anything that we want. But if we are to lose control of it, the mind can become very destructive and dangerous. It ultimately can lead to our own destruction. God's given us these minds with the abilities to create and to think, but also to daydream, which could lead to us to concentrate on selfish and evil desires. Now, Paul knew that he wanted to address this problem to the people in Colossae, and so he started off his letter reminding them of where their minds have been centered. So if we actually go back to the beginning of the book of Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." And it's actually interesting, if you go and you read all the other letters that the other apostles have written throughout the New Testament, you actually find that that's a similar theme. They've all kind of jumped on the same boat in knowing that our minds aren't always centered on where they need to be. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it reads, "Therefore, prepare your minds for actions. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." And if we go back to Paul's letter to Romans, chapter 8, verses 5 to 7, it says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So how can we keep our minds in check? How can we keep our minds focused on Christ every day? Paul must have known that this was going to be a question that everyone was going to ask, because he actually gives us the perfect checklist in his letter to the Philippians. Most of us probably have heard this multiple times. We may have it memorized. But Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Growing up in youth group, we actually discussed that passage over about a month's time, and our youth pastor, who was also our senior pastor, told us to actually write all of those out on a little business card. It's called the Philippians 4 Checklist. And put it in your wallet. Put it somewhere you're going to see it every day. So that way, you can do a self-check throughout the day. Are my thoughts praiseworthy? Are my thoughts centered on Christ? So I would encourage you to do that. Get a card, maybe it's a sticky note. Maybe you want to write it in marker on your mirror. Do that too. But just have that in somewhere that you can look at every day to remind yourself and just kind of check in to make sure that your mind is staying centered on God. So are your thoughts noble? Are they right? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they excellent and are they praiseworthy? If so, think on these things. If not, then they must be destroyed. We must be in constant submission to the Holy Spirit and remain engaged in Him, as Paul reminds us in Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." So, I said we're looking for three instructions today from Paul. Our first instruction, if you're taking notes, you can put down the first instruction is set your mind. So our first instruction is set your mind. Second instruction is actually going to look at things that Paul says we need to put to death. Some things we have to remember here is that we can't walk with Christ alone. We've got to work in tandem with the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish this. You've got to find those people that are going to journey along with you, hold you accountable as well, and you can hold them accountable. Find that group of three or four people that are going to be on that journey with you. Something else to remember, you're always going to be under attack from the enemy. He's going to look for any way to get his foot in, to deceive you, to spread lies and try to trip you up. And another thing to remember is that this is going to involve a lot of hard decisions that are going to go against what the world thinks is right. And possibly it's going to go against what some of your friends think is right. Go back to our passage, verses 5 to 7 in Colossians 3 says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived." Notice how that starts. Paul says, put to death. He's not saying, if you want to, then put it to death. He doesn't say, if it feels good, put it to death. He doesn't say just suppress it or even just ignore it. No, he says it must be put to death. If you actually look at that in the original Greek translation, the word nekro was used. This word has a strong meaning, put to death or having no power or strength or control anymore. So Paul's not joking around here. He's not saying to take this lightly. Kind of picture these thoughts, those words that Paul said we need to put to death. Think of those as weeds in your garden. Who likes to garden? Okay, just a few. I'm going to put my hand down. I don't like to garden. But think of those as weeds in your garden. If a garden is infested with weeds, we know what's going to happen. They're going to overtake everything. They're going to choke them out. And all you're going to be left with is a pretty ugly looking garden. So what do? We're in a rush. We don't have time. We're going to go out. We're just going to quickly pull on those. And we end up not pulling them out at the roots. The stem just breaks off. And we think, oh, perfect. It looks good. We can't see anything. Roots are still there. The base of that stem is still there. And within a couple days, they're all back. It's kind of like in our life, we see these problems. We don't want to take the time to deal with it. So we quickly brush it off. We think we've dealt with it. Those roots are still there. It comes back. We have to pull those out at the roots in order for it to be annihilated. They're going to constantly fight for survival. So they must be put to death, or they will lead to your own death. A few years ago, read Joyce Meyer's book on the battlefield of the mind. And she had a quote in there that I wanted to share. It says, watch your thoughts, for they become words. And watch your words, for they become actions. And watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. And finally, watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. The way you think determines how you're going to live. See, before even getting to what we're supposed to put on in this letter, Paul wants us to actually first put on our big girl pants, our big boy pants, and understand that there are certain actions that are not tolerated if we're going to call ourselves a Christian. A key thing to notice in this passage, actually, is that Paul references all these different things that we need to put off, and he has greed and he has idolatry on the same level. There is no sin that is greater than the other. They're all in this passage, they're all equal. Paul knew that many in Colossae were struggling with these sins, and the idea that there are varying levels of sin, and the same is true today. Young and old alike are affected by this. However, most of us think we can handle it. But we can't. We can't moderate or allow them any place in our lives. We must crucify them and bury them with the seal of the Holy Spirit over them, or they will come back just like those weeds did and resurrect in our lives. Unfortunately, the country that we are all living in is not the same country it used to be. See, in the past, things like sexual immorality, pornography, adultery, they were not tolerated or desired. And now we live in a time where these things are plastered everywhere. These things are even promoted. It's now a common water cooler conversation at work. We're living in a time where the world is going the way of Sodom and Gomorrah right before our eyes. We may feel helpless in this time, in this world, as Christians, but we have the power to not let these things have a hold on our minds and on our lives. If we allow these thoughts into our heads, they will kill our walk with the Lord. And when left to grow in people's minds, these things have led to broken families, to broken marriages, people using other people for selfish gain and pleasure, contraction of lifelong diseases and habits that destroy the body, and degrading perversion and violence. We must put to death anything that seeks to dehumanize us, as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul writes in Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. If I can flip the right way in my Bible. I apologize, I didn't look mark it. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So our first instruction we got was set your minds. The second was put to death. And now thirdly, Paul lets us know some things must be put off. Go back to our passage in Colossians. Starting at verse 8, he says, "But now you must rid yourself of all things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all. And is in all." This list of things that Paul just gave us to deal with are things that deal with the heart, things that deal with the tongue, and things that deal with the mind. Mainly, that would, you put that all together, it's kind of your social life. Think of these things like those ratty old stained clothes that you have. How many people have got articles of clothing that you set aside for painting or gardening? Okay, we've got that set. Think of these things in this passage as those clothes. These things like anger, malice, hatred, filthy language, and lying. Those are those clothes. These were like the clothes that we used to wear before we gave our lives to Christ. Unfortunately, though, these clothes still remain in our closets. We keep pulling them back out. We wear them, and then those thoughts come back into our minds. Those practices come back into our lives, and we find ourselves taking steps backwards in our life as we try to live for Christ. Paul, though, insists that we must do some spiritual clothes burning. Who likes a big bonfire? Has anyone ever set clothes on fire in not a unintentional way? That's what Paul's wanting us to do. He wants us to take these old ratty clothes, these clothes of sin, of anger, of malice, of lying, filthy language, give them to Jesus to be incinerated. Don't worry, though. Even though you're going to give up those clothes, you're not going to be naked. Okay? God's going to give us some new clothes to put on. In verse 12 to 17, it shows us the new clothes that God's going to provide us with as born-again Christians. Back to our passage, starting in verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude with your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whatever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We got all these things we got to take off. We got this whole new list of stuff that God's going to give us to put on. But you got to remember, the change is not going to happen overnight. You don't just pray, ask God into your life, and everything is all sunshine and rainbows and butterflies. Yes, our hearts are clean, but we still have those flaws, those bad habits in our life that have to be dealt with. Now that we're in Christ, we are called to be a different person. We have to think different. or using a metaphor, you have to dress differently. You must get rid of those old clothes in your closet from your old life and replace them with the new clothes from God. These new clothes show compassion, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. We must daily choose to put on this clothing so we can live a life pleasing to God. However, there's going to be days where we'll have a wardrobe malfunction. We're going to forget to throw something out of our closet, and we're going to end up putting that back on. And when this happens, and it will happen, you must confess, you must repent. You must ask the Holy Spirit to help us get rid of that article once and for all from your wardrobe. You see, at first, your new clothes might not feel comfortable. They may make you sad because it's not the same as the old stuff that you're used to wearing. It means that there was a change that was made. But maybe your old stuff felt better. Maybe it had some sort of significant meaning to you. It was who you were used to. It was your identity. I had a similar problem. I was telling some people at some point this weekend about this problem. Who here is willing to put their hand up and say that they gained the freshman 15? Okay, the freshman 15. That's where you go to college and you can't afford anything other than craft dinner and horrible food, and so you just eat all that and you end up gaining 15 pounds when you go to college. Okay, I didn't get that. I was determined not to eat craft dinner for every meal at college. However, after college I got married. I gained the marriage 20. And that meant everything in the closet doesn't fit anymore. And so I had to throw it all out. Not throw it all out, donate it. And get all new stuff. And there were a lot of sentimental value in some of those, you know, those t-shirts from those schools that you got them from at Christian festivals and such. Now they don't fit, or your favorite band, and now you've got to get rid of that shirt. But I got to get the new stuff, and I mean, yes, after some time I got used to the new me, the new look. But like I did, we all need to clean out our closets and know that the new stuff is going to make a greater impression for God. Remember what I said earlier, though, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. See, if you struggle with anger, you might find it hard putting on the shirt of forgiveness. Or maybe you like to gossip. So the pants of humility, the jacket of compassion, they're going to feel tight. They might feel scratchy. But we all can probably agree, okay, yeah, the belt of love, I can put that on. I can deal with that. That's great. So we put that new piece on with some of our old stuff. When you do that, you're still allowing the devil to have a foothold in your life. You're not changing completely. You've got one foot in the new and one foot in the old. See, the enemy knows that you're unstable. It's going to make it easier for him to ruin your Christian testimony. And he loves to do that. He loves to destroy our witness for God. So again, I'll say, spiritual growth is hard. Making disciples is hard. We all struggle with it, myself included. Now, how many people ever learned how to tie a tie? Did it happen overnight? You could do it right away. I brought a tie with me. I'll show you what happened. When I was first taught to tie a tie, I didn't have time for it. And I got frustrated because I couldn't figure out how to do anything with it. And so I would end up just going fast and doing something that looked like this. And my grandma said it wouldn't pass when she got married again, and so she got me a zipper tie. So then I decided, okay, I'll spend some more time with it. A lot of the guys at church are starting to wear ties. I want to wear a tie just like that. It makes me look older, more professional, make it look like I know what I'm doing. And so I tied my tie. And I would spend a little more time on it, but I still didn't really care. And so it would look something like this. Then, thankfully before our wedding, I'd spent enough time on it, and that paid off because then I got into business management in a retail store, and we were required to wear ties every month. Then I became a pastor. Thankfully, we're not required to wear them, but then you go to district conference like this weekend, and you're required to wear a tie. And so, I got much better with it. Did it happen overnight? No. I started doing this when I was 11. I'm still learning. There are still times I will tie it and I don't have time for it. And I'll have this giant tail and so I just tuck it in my shirt because I don't have time to retie it. Just like tying a tie, putting on all these new clothes, it's not gonna happen overnight. It's gonna take time, it's gonna take years to continue to practice, to continue to put the effort in. Every day that you wake up, you have to make the choice that you are going to live for God, that you are going to put those things off, put those things to death, set your mind on Him. See, we receive those new clothes from God. It's like the Holy Spirit took us on a shopping trip, and who doesn't like a shopping trip? Right? Everyone likes a shopping trip? You don't like a shopping trip. Okay. It's okay, as long as you have someone to do the shopping for you. There you go. Support, that's what I said. You know, put four or five people around you that are gonna support you. Because as long as you've got the support, you've got these new clothes to wear, this love, the compassion, the forgiveness, humility, kindness, peace, and patience. But then we get home, and what happens? You have to choose to put those on each day. You've got these new clothes. But He's not only given you a bag of clothes, He's also given you a burn bag and a body bag. So take those things, those first things that Paul mentioned, put those in the body bag. That sexual immorality, lust, greed, dirty thinking, and idolatry. You put those in the body bag, those are dead to us. We've crucified them, they were buried with the seal of the Holy Spirit. In the burn bag, you put those ratty old clothes of anger, malice, gossip, slander, filthy language, and lying. Then we return it to the Holy Spirit to be incinerated. Only then, once our closets are completely cleaned out, can we put our new clothes in. Now with the new clothes on, people might compliment you at the office about your new outfit. They notice the change and how well it makes you look. But at the same time, that might not always be the case. People are used to seeing you gossip. They're used to seeing you lie. They're used to seeing you get mad and blow your top every time. And they don't quite like the new you. Doesn't mean that you give up. Doesn't mean that you quit and go dig up the body bag. It doesn't mean that you go and grab those clothes before they get burned. You gotta work at it. You have to know that the choices that you have made are what God has called you to. So this morning I wanna ask you, how's your body bag? Did you bury it? Is it still buried? Or did you go dig it up, pull some things out of it? How's your closet? Is it still full of those old clothes that you're supposed to have burned? Or have you cleared all that out for those new outfits? As the worship team comes back up and we go into the next song, I want you to take some time. Think through that. Is your mind set on Christ? Are there things that you know you haven't given up, those things you haven't put to death, haven't put off that you need to? And I would even say that if you find yourself in a situation like that, that you'd make that step of faith, that next step in your journey. We've got these beautiful altar rails. I'd invite you to come forward for prayer, to lay those down, to put those off, put them to death, give them over to God, and invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with these new clothes. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, for your instructions through your people, God. We pray right now that as we each examine our lives, that you would bring to light anything that is in there that we haven't put to death, that we haven't put off, that needs to, that is standing between us and you, God. I pray that we would find the willingness to lay those down and to come to you with open hands and minds, to be filled with your Spirit, to be filled with these new things of compassion and love, God. Commit the rest of the service to you and look forward to what you are going to do in each of us. Amen.
Thank you.